47.
In the future, Major, I will be the one to give the speeches to the men, Prince Tychon said, pacing up and down a small patch of grass 20 yards behind the firing line.
He'd ridden the short distance down from the fortress on Rolling Thunder, despite the horse's continued skittishness within the ring of trees. No sooner had he dismounted than the horse bolted, galloping back up to the fortress to huddle among the Brindos and Murifants. Kanawha felt a certain amount of pride that Zwendera seemed unconcerned about their present environment.
"This is my regiment, not yours," the prince went on.
His face was red, but it was more from being out in the sun than from anger. In fact, despite Kanawha's breach of etiquette, the prince was clearly preoccupied with something else. Chants of Silra, Silra, washed over the regiment from the far bank as the Elfkainen worked themselves into a frenzy in preparation for attack.
"Of course, sir," Kanawha said, caring little what the prince thought. The battle would be over soon, and this whole nightmare would be at an end.
The prince paused in his pacing, shivering and wrapping his arms around his body. He looked across the river and shook his head.
"I caught the tail end of it, Major, and I noticed you didn't mention me. Still, it was rather rousing. I'll have to ask Raleigh to write me up something like it."
He stamped his boots and started pacing again.
"This weather is absolutely atrocious. First it's hot enough to boil eggs, and now I'm thoroughly chilled."
Kanawha felt the cold, too, and found he was getting quite used to it. A thought occurred to him.
"Sir, when I administered the oath to the regiment, you were having one of your discussions with Raleigh, correct?"
The prince stopped again and looked skyward for a moment, pushing the brim of his shako back out of his eyes. He had lost a good 10 pounds since they set out, the puffiness of his face having disappeared, the collar around his neck looser. Kanawha hated to admit it, but he was starting to look like what a prince and a leader should look like, toughened by the outdoors and bloodied, if slightly so far, by battle. Whether he had any more sense was another matter.
"Yes," he finally said, lowering his eyes to look at Kanawha suspiciously. "She was fascinated by my plans to build the great library in Selwyn. Said placing the star there would put it out of reach of almost every miscreant and fool that would try to use it, which was, of course, exactly my plan."
"No doubt," Kanawha said, wondering if the prince had ever taken a moment to consider the phrase, "almost every." "Do you recall feeling cold at all that night? A cool breeze? Frost? Even a little?"
Prince Tychon raised an eyebrow.
"What are you getting at, Major?"
Now that Kanawha had brought it up, he wasn't sure how to proceed.
"Some of the men have reported feeling a bit off, sir. I was just curious if you had felt different of late."
The prince relaxed and actually smiled.
"I never would have taken you for a mother hen, Major, but no, put your mind at ease. I have never felt better in my life. If it wasn't for this blasted cold, I'd say I was near perfect."
So then, the oath hadn't affected the prince.
"Very good, sir. The men will be pleased to hear it."
"Of course they will," the prince said, tapping his chest proudly. "They serve in the finest regiment in the Imperial Army commanded by the heir to the throne. Now enough about my health. Is everything ready?"
Kanawha made a point of looking up and down the line as if studying the placement of the troops, something he had already done 12 times before.
"The regiment is ready, sir."
"Good. Splendid. Well, very good. Yes, very, very good. We'll stand here, then, shall we?"
Once again, Kanawha came face to face with the reality of his situation. Prince Tychon had no earthly idea what to do with a regiment going into battle.
"As the commanding officer, it would be wise if you oversaw the battle from the fortress. It provides a commanding view, and will allow you to take in the whole field, sir," Kanawha lied. A commander's place was with his men, right in the thick of it. Not that this fool would ever realize it.
The prince looked back up to the fortress.
"Seems rather far away to direct the regiment," he said.
No sooner had he said it than a single arrow fluttered over from across the river, an impossibly long shot by an Elfkainen archer hoping to take out an officer. The arrow barely penetrated the dirt 2 feet in front of them before slowly toppling over. The shouts of Silra grew even louder.
"The men know you would gladly risk your life to be right up here with them, sir," Kanawha said, turning slightly so he could keep a better eye out for more arrows. He noticed that the prince made sure to keep Kanawha between himself and the river.
"But yours is a strategic role, sir, watching for that critical moment when things hang in the balance. And, of course, the star. You'll be looking for the star."
Mention of the star reanimated Prince Tychon, and his pacing resumed, faster than before, heedless of exposing himself to further shots.
"It's close, Major. Right at our very fingertips. It's here somewhere. I can feel it."
"Yes, sir, I'm sure it is. All the more reason for you to continue searching for it. I'm sure you'll find it soon."
The air vibrated with Elfkynan chants.
"You're right," the prince said.
Another arrow sailed in a high, curving arc across the river and struck the prince's shako square on, bouncing off the hat just above his forehead to lie at their feet.
"He's got the right idea," Kanawha muttered, looking across the river for the Elfkynan archer.
"How's that?"
the prince asked, his voice rising in preparation for another tantrum.
"Always aim at their leaders, sir. You cut off the head and the body falls. They obviously recognize the threat you pose," Kanawha said. "Perhaps Rally will help you with a victory speech for after the battle. I know the men will be looking forward to hearing a few words from you."
"It would be appropriate," the prince said,
and then paused, a new thought clearly dawning on him.
"And speaking of appropriate, an officer should be mounted at all times practical, Major. The men need constant inspiration. They need to look up to those that command them. That's why we have horses."
"Not all the horses seem comfortable with the trees," Kanawha said, succeeding for the most part in keeping the exasperation out of his voice.
"They'll learn, or they'll wind up in a cooking pot," the prince said,
bending to pick up the arrow.
"I expect to see you mounted, Major. No excuses. This battle will be fought properly."
"Very good, sir," Kanawha said, knowing it was futile to argue.
"Now,"
Prince Tychon continued, turning to head back up to the fortress,
"I think I'll go have a chat with Rally and get her working on my speech. My recent brush with death adds a real sense of weight to things, and it should go over well with the men, don't you think?"
"Almost nearly," Kanawha said under his breath. "Almost nearly." In the thousands of years that the Bainama River had curled through eastern Elfkynna, long before the land had been named, it had forever run brown with the silt washed into it from the heavy rains that fell throughout the year. Until today. Kanawha bent and pulled a wounded soldier away from the bank and paused, the crimson water in front of him frothed with the frenzied feeding of fish drawn to the surface.
"Major! Get down!"
Kanawha threw himself flat against the grass as the sound of dozens of ice picks stabbing a piece of tin crackled above his head. The musket volley thrashed the forward line of Elfkynan just entering the river 30 yards away, flailing their exposed flesh, exposing briefly the brilliance of white bone beneath. Elfkynan screamed. More slipped under the water, trampled underfoot by those not yet hit, their cries gurgling into abrupt silence as water filled their lungs and they vanished from sight. An arrow pricked the ground inches from his head, the shaft quivering as if furious it had not found flesh. More arrows whistled past, answered by yet more musket fire, the smoke of the volley rolling over Kanawha and temporarily blocking his view of the river. Over it all, the chants of "Silra, Silra" ebbed and flowed like a coming tide, each wave climbing higher and higher onto the beach.
"I've got him, sir,"
Private Hrim Vulber said, running through the smoke to grab the wounded soldier from Kanawha and heave him over his shoulder.
"You shouldn't be out in front of the line like this. You're not immortal."
Kanawha allowed Hrem to drag him back over the wall of mud bricks, caring little if an Elfkynan arrow hit him in the back as he halted on the edge, looking back down at the river.
"Maybe I am. Maybe we all are," he said, recognizing the feeling of utter futility.
The Elfkynan weren't going to stop. They surged forward in waves with no concern for their lives. The few prisoners the Iron Elves had taken that day wailed and begged to be killed. It wasn't until Kanawha threatened to grant their wish by having Jir eat them, starting at their toes and working his way up, that one thought better of it.
"Paradise! Paradise forever! The star has returned!"
"What paradise?" Kanawha asked,
motioning for Jir to take a few steps forward. The Elfkainen's eyes bulged.
"Death does not matter. The star has returned. All who perish in its service will be rewarded in the afterlife."
Taking heart from his own words, the Elfkainen ran into the open and stepped in front of one of the 5-pounders just as it fired a canister shot. Rem reached up and pulled Kanawa off the wall, dropping him behind it as several more arrows ricocheted off the mud bricks. He looked at Kanawa for a moment, then nodded and moved back into the firing line a few feet away. Shouts of "Silra, Silra" still echoed across the battle, but for the first time the weight of voice had decreased, the screams growing in volume as yet more Elfkainen went to their paradise. Even the yelling and taunting by the Iron Elves, as the Elfkainen had first charged the river, had subsided into grunts and curses, and more than a few prayers for the poor buggers to stop. To just please stop. This wasn't battle. This was butchery. Ramrods rattled in musket barrels, sergeants barked hoarse commands to "look lively, aim low." The gun carriages for the 2 5-pounders creaked and groaned as they shook under each blast, and through it all, the screams of the dying never stopped. There was a boom from the fortress, signaling the firing of the howitzer. Kanawa looked up and saw the blur of the cannonball arc overhead before it dipped and slammed into a group of Elfkainen. For a moment, nothing happened, the cannon shell sitting half dug into the soft earth, its burning fuse hidden from view. The Elfkainen laughed, and one stepped forward to place a foot on the shell, when it exploded, tossing several of them into the air. A private held on to Zwendera's reins a few feet away, the horse remarkably calm amid all the chaos. It angered Kanawa to needlessly risk the animal's life for no good reason. At least he'd been able to get Jir penned up in the fortress under Raleigh's supervision. He'd miss that Bengar more than a little if anything ever happened to it.
"They're absolutely mad,"
Lorien said, riding up on one of the commandeered Elfkainen horses. Halting beside Zwendera, the horse, a dappled, shaggy-looking thing, looked like a large pony in comparison. Lorien dismounted, handing the reins to the private holding Zwendera's, and walked up to peer over the wall by him.
"Little boys with toy soldiers make better battle plans than this."
Kanawa stood up and looked over in time to see 6 Elfkainen crawl up onto the western bank in front of their position. They rose to their feet yelling fiercely, their eyes bright with belief, as they were unceremoniously cut down by another round of canister shot fired at a range of 20 yards, the smoke of the blast blotting them from sight. When the smoke drifted away, all that remained was madly thrashing fins and scaly mouths, gulping down chunks of red raw flesh floating in the water. "How's our ammunition holding out?" Kanawa asked, forcing himself to look away as 2 more Elfkainen crawled onto the bank, one trying to hold his innards in with one hand while waving a Maiochsa with the other. 2 sharp musket cracks told Kanawa their fate.
"We're down to 20 rounds a man. I've ordered some of the canister shot cut open and more cartridges to be made. But I doubt there are that many of the dumb bastards left that will need it,"
Lorien said, sliding down from the wall to rest with his back against it beside Kanawa.
"Losses?" Kanawa asked. 8 dead and another 15 wounded. Prince Tyken has made it a priority to examine every wound himself to ensure there's no malingering,"
Lorien said, motioning with his halberd toward the casualty collection area, 100 yards back of the firing line. From there, the wounded were transported by a Murifant-pulled wagon up to the fortress. Those deemed insufficiently injured were sent stumbling back down to the line. Mercifully, there were only a few seriously wounded so far. Kanawa nodded, grabbing a canteen off the ground and offering it to Lorien. The RSM took a long pull and held it out to Kanawa, who grabbed it and finished it off, the bitter taste of gunpowder temporarily diluted.
"I think it's time we let them force the gap," Kanawa said,
pointing to the one open section in the ring of trees that surrounded their position. A large abattis made of cut-down trees, spiked with sharpened sticks, lay across the road. They were normal trees, as attempts to use some of the black trees had gone nowhere. No soldier would get close enough to the blood trees to swing an axe. As it was, the abattis proved useful in blocking the growing number of Elfkainen who were trying to find a way through.
"We need to finish this now. Who knows what else is out there?"
"Is that wise?" Lorien asked, cringing as a horse screamed in terror. Both Swindera and the Alfkainen horse reacted, their ears pricking forward, the whites of their eyes showing. Lorien got up to look over the wall as the Alfkainen cavalry made another futile charge. Kanawa reluctantly followed suit, watching with sadness as hooves flashed through the red water, crushing skulls as the horses panicked and tried to run away. Unlike their riders, the animals had no illusions of immortality and paradise. Kanawa looked up at the sky and was surprised to see the sun already beginning to dip behind the fortress on the hill.
"We don't have a choice. We do it now, or we'll be fighting in the dark, and that's something I'd like to avoid."
Lorien finally turned away from the carnage and looked at Kanawa. His eyes were rimmed with red, his face grime-covered and pale.
"Are you sure this will work?"
Kanawa felt a cold surge as the acorn against his chest reminded him of what real power was.
"One way to find out," he said, moving away from the wall and calling to the color party.
A small, fierce-looking sergeant, followed by three large, equally fierce-looking corporals, all brandishing halberds, marched up with the regimental color. Both the queen's color and that of the prince were flying over the fortress.
"Sergeant Celia Aguam and Kalapati reporting, sir,"
the color sergeant said. He saluted smartly, the flagstaff held comfortably against his left shoulder. He was one of the few Sigurs with black skin in the regiment, no doubt a volunteer from the Empire's southern conquests in the Timolia Island chain. Kanawa knew the Timolia regiments to be fearsome warriors, an ethos developed over centuries of battling the Red Orcs of Winnemarook for control of the islands. From the battle scars on Aguam's face, it was clear the color sergeant lived that tradition.
"I need you to fall back to where the wounded are and get the rest up to the fortress. Then signal the retreat," Kanawa said.
"At once, sir,"
he said, saluting and marching away, the three corporals following close behind like a group of tavern strongmen hired to keep the rowdy at bay, which, in a way, was precisely their job, just with deadlier intent.
"I hope this works,"
Lorien said, watching the color party move up the hill.
"We'll make it work," Kanawa said, a growing confidence spreading through him. "This battle will be over shortly."
"And what will happen then, Major?" Rally asked, appearing behind him and Lorien as if from thin air.
A particularly large cigar was clamped firmly between her teeth, its smoke more pungent than usual.
"It will get dark," Kanawa remarked, not wishing to get dragged into another conversation he had no answers for. "Where is Vecina?"
Rally clucked and took the cigar out of her mouth, neatly stepping to one side as two arrows sliced through the place she had stood a moment before. A cannon boomed, the momentary silence after its shot followed by fewer Alfkainen screams.
"Tending the wounded up at the fortress. She is an angel, to hear the boys tell it. Many lives will be owed to her before the end of the day."
Kanawa nodded, surprising Rally and Lorien.
"She'll probably do more good than we will. Tell her that whatever she needs, she gets. I want them given the best care possible."
Rally and Lorien shared a look.
"I will be most happy to convey that message, Major, and I sincerely hope there will be little more for her to do this day. Though my heart tells me otherwise," she said,
drawing deeply on her cigar as she eyed not the Alfkainen army but the ring of trees that surrounded them.
Tell her I said thank you,"
Kanawa said, his cheeks suddenly growing hot.
"I will, but make sure you're around to tell her yourself, too, when this is over," Rally said, patting his arm, then leaving him and Lorien.
Kanawa turned and saw Lorien staring at him.
"Don't ask. Now let's get this over with."
They took the reins from a very relieved private, who scurried back to find some cover. Kanawa climbed into the saddle, very aware of just how high off the ground he was as he looked down at Lorien on his smaller horse. Swindera tossed his head but remained calm.
"You volunteered for the cavalry?"
Kanawa asked, urging Swindera into a walk. Lorien smiled, the first time in a while.
Major, it's the only way to fight. You feel that power of the horse beneath you, the wind in your face. It's magical.
Well, the kind of magic I understand, he added.
You sound like the Duke, Conowa replied, shaking his head. I never really have understood the relationship between a cavalryman and his horse.
Lorien nodded toward the fortress.
Some people might say the same about an officer and his Bengar.
It was Conowa's turn to smile. An arrow sliced down between the horses, spooking Lorien's slightly.
Signal the color party, Conowa ordered.
Lorien tied a thin red pennant to his halberd and raised it high, waving it back and forth. A moment later, a bugle sounded. The two platoons of C Company assigned to hold outside the ring of trees began an orderly retreat through the gap. As soon as they passed through, the other platoons started to give way slowly. It was apparent by their steps that they disagreed with the order. They had fought long and hard to hold the gap, and had seen some friends die for it. And they were winning. The Elfkainen charged and fell back only to charge again, their progress slowed by the mounting pile of bodies that littered the ground in front of the Iron Elves.
"They aren't pulling back fast enough,"
Lorien said, leaning forward in the saddle toward the gap. Conowa gritted his teeth, silently urging the Siggers on. He understood their feeling, but they had to make this look real. There was a roar from beyond the trees, and a group of Elfkainen cavalry charged through the gap, their Myoxo whistling as they swung them over their heads. They galloped headlong toward the retreating Siggers. The 5-pounder closest to the gap fired into their center, bowling over half a dozen horses and sending several more reeling. The momentum of two of the horses carried them another 15 yards, stumbling into the line of Iron Elves and knocking several down. The soldiers quickly got up and reformed, but the damage had been done. Instead of one single line pulling back, there was now a break, and the two halves began to pull apart as they retreated, creating a gap between them. The Elfkainen following on foot saw their chance and ran headlong for the gap, seeing a chance to roll up the entire defensive line along the riverbank.
"Follow me!"
Conowa shouted, drawing his saber and kicking Zwendera with his heels. The horse neighed, leaped forward, and came close to unseating him now that he was holding the reins with only one hand. The Elfkainen were pushing the gap wider apart. Smoke bloomed from the front row of the Iron Elves, and Elfkainen tumbled and fell. But more came rushing through the gap, and there was now no time to reload. Another charge by the Elfkainen cavalry would carry them through and behind the soldiers still holding the positions on the river. The acorn against his chest stabbed him with ice, spurring him on. He turned briefly to see Lorien galloping beside him, the point of his halberd lowered like a lance.
"Hold, you bastards, hold!"
Conowa shouted, taking Zwendera straight through the gap and into a group of Elfkainen who threw up their hands in surprise as the huge black horse came at them. Conowa brought his saber down on an Elfkainen's arm, severing it at the elbow. Black frost sparkled on the wound, and Conowa felt the familiar cold fury grip him. Zwendera reared and flailed his hooves at two Elfkainen in front of them, the sound of his steel shoes against skullbone loud and jarring. Elfkainen screamed in pain and blood sprayed skyward. A Myoxa whistled past Kanawa's ear, and he turned in the saddle and swung across his body, missing the Elfkainen and almost cutting Zwendera in the flanks. The force of the swing had him toppling out of the saddle, but Zwendera shifted beneath him, and he remained seated. The Myoxa whipped the air again, the razor-sharp blades of Jimmick grass severing one of the wings of his Shako. Zwendera's head shot to the side, and he bit the Elfkainen in the stomach, lifting the screaming man into the air and shaking him. When Zwendera let go, the Elfkainen's innards lay strewn on the ground. Conowa urged the horse forward at another group of Elfkainen. He bent low in the saddle and stabbed one in the chest, the blade jumping in his hand as it hit spine. The wound began to blacken as frost fire licked around the embedded blade. The Elfkainen wrenched himself backward, his shrieks ending abruptly as he vomited black ichor. Two more Elfkainen ran toward him, but before they got within distance of his saber or Zwendera, Lorien came charging past on his horse and skewered the first on his halberd and rode over the second. An Iron Elf stepped out of the line and bayoneted the trampled Elfkainen for good measure. Conowa noticed faint flickers of frost fire on the wounds. He was still staring at the black flames when something hard struck him in the chest. Bitter cold burst over him, and he fell from the saddle, barely able to kick his boots free from the stirrups as he did so. He landed flat on his back, the air rushing out of his lungs as everything went momentarily gray. The arrow that had struck the acorn under his jacket lay shattered a few feet away. An Elfkynan ran toward him, his screams of "Silra! Silra!" barely audible in the din of battle. Kanawa tried to raise his saber, but his right arm was incapable of lifting a feather at that moment. A great black shadow loomed on top of him, and Zwindera dashed the Elfkynan's brains out with a single flick of a front hoof. The Elfkynan charge faltered. Kanawa's breath came back in a painful rush, and he sat up, his limbs once again responding.
"Reform the line! Reform the line!"
Lorien shouted, standing up in the saddle and motioning the troops to close the gap around Kanawa. The soldiers began to move toward each other again, still falling back as they did so. Two grabbed hold of Kanawa and helped him to his feet. He thanked them and gingerly got back into the saddle, allowing Zwindera to carry him back toward Lorien. Now that the gap had closed, the Elfkynan attack turned to the new gap, opening between the river and the fortress. The cannon covering the gap fired one more time, decimating a group of Elfkynan and propelling the rest toward the fortress. Seeing the fleeing soldiers, the Elfkynan were encouraged, believing the Iron Elves had finally succumbed to the pressure. A tremendous cheer sounded from the Elfkynan ranks. Their bloody assault on the river directly across from the regiment slowed as the remaining forces shifted to cross near the gap. Kanawa estimated at least 1,000 Elfkynan were still on their feet, but what he had in store for them would lower that number quickly. The line of retreating Sigurs began to wheel to the left, falling back on the riverbank. This created an opening for the Elfkynan to surge through between the fortress and the river. If they recognized the killing ground for what it was, they never showed it.
"Are you okay, Major?"
Lorien said, trotting up to him on his horse. He reached out a hand, but instead of grabbing Kanawa's elbow, he patted Zwindera's neck.
"Thanks to this fellow I am," Kanawa said, leaning forward to give the horse a pat as well. "He's a fine beast, all right," Lorien said, clearly admiring the horse. "Fights like a real demon." "Let's hope they don't," Kanawa said, watching with growing dismay as the Elfkynan ran past. Thousands were either dead or wounded, and why? Because they believed in a power greater than themselves, a power they believed would deliver their country from the empire that controlled it. Kanawa brought his hand up to his chest and felt the cold presence under his coat. What, he wondered, was he fighting for?
"Major?"
Kanawa grunted an acknowledgment, watching the Elfkynan stream past, their euphoria childlike. Once they were within the ring of trees, the trap would be sprung. Kanawa looked up the hill to see the color party running into the fortress, where the rest of C Company waited, along with the supporting howitzer. He looked back and saw that every second man in the firing line along the river had spun about to face the fortress. The Elfkynan were now caught in the middle. The final slaughter needed only his command.